Begin the current daf, Maseftes Baba Kama, daf Nun Hei. Begin on the bottom of daf Nun Dal Amud Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues on a related discussion from the previous daf. That is one of the eight things mentioned in our mission on the previous daf regarding that the halacha applies not only to Shara and Chamor, but actually to all animals, wild animals, to birds, was the halacha of Shabbos, which actually was a source for other halachas too, Chasima and Prika. And the Havamina was that the way we know that it applies to all was from a klal prat or klal. Klal from the Dibris Rishainis, Prat from Dibris Achrainis, and then the next Klal also from the Dibris Achrainis, from the first Luchas and the second Luchas. Ultimately, the Gemara ended up learning it from V'chol Behemtecha, which tells you a ribu including all animals. But the Gemara had pointed out the different terminologies mentioned in the Luchas Rishainis and Luchas Shneis. So on that theme, about the two different sets of Luchas that were given, one by Shavuos time, which was then broken by Shabbos Batamas, and then the second luchas, which are given by Yom Kippurim after the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was davening and then receiving the next one. So Shol Reb Chanina ben Ogel as Reb Chiya ber Abba. He asked him, "Memnei ma bedibris rishainis? Why is it that by the first luchas, leinem behem taif, the word good is not mentioned, or bedibris achrainis, but by the second set of luchas, as we continue on top of Nanhei Med Alf, which is mentioned in Sefer Devarim, nem behem taif, the word good is mentioned by specifically by mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, where it says leman yitav loch, that it should be good for you." So Reb Chiya ber Abba responded to him. He says, "Achata sheleni lama nema behem taiv. Until you start asking me why does it say good, shaleni im nema behem taiv im lav. First, ask me if it says the word good or not. Sheni ideya im nema behem taiv im lav, because I don't even know." And Mefarshim explained this. What does this mean? It's a pasuk in Chumash. I don't even know if it even says the word good or not. Rather, klach etzel Reb Tancha ben Bar Chaniloi, go to Reb Tancha Bar Chaniloi, shayi rogel etzel Reb Shu ben Levi, who is accustomed to going to Reb Shu ben Levi, shayi baki ba gada, who Reb Shu ben Levi is proficient in gada, go to Reb Tancha Bar Chaniloi, he might have the answer, why is there a difference in the word taiv by Luchas Shneis and not by Luchas Rishainis. So azalagame, he went to Reb Tancha Bar Chaniloi. So Malay, so he said to him, mimenu loy shemati, from Reb Shu ben Levi, I didn't hear interpretation for this difference. Elekacha mali Shmuel bar Nochem, but this is what Shmuel, the son of Nochem, told me, who is Achi Imai, Shrem Achar Reb Chanina. Well, he was the uncle, he was the brother of his mother. Vamila, and some say it was actually Avi Imai, Shel Reb Achi Reb Chanina. It was his mother's father of Reb Achar Reb Chanina. And he said the reason is, Hoyil B'Sleifon L'Shtaber. Because since the first luchas were ultimately going to be broken as they were, that's why Hashem did not put in those luchas the word Taif. So the Gemara says, V'Chi Sleifon L'Shtaber Mahava, what's the difference that's going to be broken? So Rav Ashi says, because chas v'shalom, the heaven forsake, that paska tev miyisol, because then it would be as if that it would stop, it would like be breaking, that there should be goodness from the Jewish people. Since the luchas are going to be broken, it's as if goodness is going to be broken, and therefore they didn't have the word tev in the first luchas, and only by the second luchas, which ended up existing and continuing to exhibit this concept that goodness should be maintained in the Jewish people. Now, continuing on this theme about tev, about good, so Amr Bishua says, Haraya tes b'chaloymai. If someone sees the word tes, in the letter tes in his dream, simen yafalai, so it's a good sign for him. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? Ilemim shem dechsev toiv, if it's because, and this is the theme of the previous Gemara's discussion, because it says the word good starts with a tes. Ema, I can tell you, passing in Yeshaya, it says, v'tate siyu b'metate hashmad, that it will sweep you with a broom of destruction, that you see that the word tes could also connote, and that pasuk begins with a message of destruction. So now the Gemara says, no, chad tes kamrinu. We're talking about where the person in his dream sees only one tes. Those words, the broom and the sweeping of destruction, have more than one tes. So now the Gemara says, Ema, but I can tell you a different pasuk. It's a pasuk in Eicha. It says, tumasa b'shulaha. Her tuma is, her defilement is by the hem of her clothing, which connotes a type of a distancing of the Jewish people, and that's by Eicha, by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that has one test. Now the Gemara says, test Beis Kamrinan. No, the person in his dream didn't just see a test, he saw a test and a vase, which that's from the word of Taiv. So the Gemara says, Ema, but I can still tell you a different pasuk in Eicha that says, Tavu ba'aretz shahareha, that her gates have sunk into the ground, which is a bad omen, and it has the letters test and vase. So rather, the Gemara explains, the reason why he's seeing tes is a good sign. Hail upasach b'hakasim. Since the opening of the Torah, meaning of the pasuk, the first time the letter tes is mentioned in the Torah, it's l'tayv v'tchila. It's mentioned first in the word of goodness, Shem b'reishis. Ad v'yara l'kim es ha'ayr, because from the beginning of the Torah, until that Hashem saw the light, Like Siv Tes, it doesn't say the letter Tes until that pasuk, which it says that he saw the light, ki Taiv, that is good. So the first time the letter Tes is mentioned in Taiv, that's why it's a good omen to see the letter Tes in the person's dream. Another teaching, Vamir B'Shuman Levi, regarding Haroya Hesped Bachaloyma, if someone sees a eulogy in his dream, so Chasu Olav Min HaShemayim Upeduhu. So the word Hesped, the Hey and Ches are interchangeable because they're both gutturals, is the word Hey and Samach and Pei and Dal is Chasu Olav Min HaShemayim. They have mercy in him from heaven. Upeduhu, the Pei Dal is, and they have redeemed him. In other words, a tribulation should have happened to him, but Hashem has saved him. So it's a good omen, but v'hanemili b'chsava, that's only if you saw it in writing. In other words, you didn't see in your dream an actual eulogy. Rather, you saw the word hespid, hey, samach, pei, dalad. So then that will be the hey and samach will be chas, and pei, dal will be pedeuhu, that they redeemed him from these troubles. Now the Gemara continues the Mishnah that said regarding all these eight things that we mentioned, all these different halachas, although the pasuk might have mentioned ox and donkey, but v'chein chayi v'oifa kayitza ben mechulu, but actually the halacha, as we showed on the previous staff, applies to all animals, wild animals, and even birds. Now, Amar Shlakish, the Shlakish says, Khan, in this Mishnah, which one of the items mentioned was Kalayim, that we said we proved applies to all, not only animals, but even wild animals and birds. So from here, Shana Rebbe says, Shlakish, this is what Rebbe taught us, that Tarnagol, a chicken, Tavas, a peacock, Ufasyoni, which is a type of slav, a type of pheasant, which is called, this type is called the partridge, then klaim zebezeh, then they're considered klaim one with the other. In other words, we learn that the halach of klaim applies to even birds, that if it's a different type of a bird, the halach of klaim will apply from prohibition of mating them, of also klaim of having them do work together. So that's the Gemara's Peshitta, it's pretty obvious. Well, that's what we said. We said the halach of klaim applies to all types. On that, Amrav Chaviva says, no. Mishum derovu b'had de'adadi, since these types of birds, they live together, somehow de tema min chadhu, you would think they're one type, one species, and therefore it wouldn't be a prohibition of klayim. Kamash Malon, that's what Shlakish is teaching, that we see from Rabbi that the birds, although they live together, that they're, since they're different types of birds, the halach of klayim apply to them. Amar Shmuel, he says, avas v'avas habar, a goose and a wild goose, klayim zebezeh, they're considered prohibited mixtures, one with the other. Now, mask below Rava Barachan, and he says, my time, what's the reason? Why are you saying that the different species? If you're saying because this one has a long beak, and this one has a small beak, meaning the difference between the wild goose and the domesticated one. But if that's the case, that makes it into a different species. Well, then Gamla Parsa, then the Persian camel, the Gamla Taya, and the Arabian camel, the high Olam Koye, that one of them has a thick neck, the high cotton Koye, and the other one has a thin neck. You're going to tell me that because they live in different locations, so they're a little bit different, one's a thicker neck, one's a small neck, that they're going to be considered climb? Obviously not. They're one type of camel. So what's the difference that the goose, one, the wild one, and the domesticated one, have different types of beaks? One longer, one shorter? So Elam Abayi, rather Abayi says, no, the difference between the goose and the wild goose is, Zeh beitzah mibachutz, the testicles of the male of the wild goose is recognizable from the outside. But the regular goose, it's from the inside, and therefore that makes it into a different species. Rav Papa, he says that's regarding the males. But regarding the females, the difference is, regarding the wild goose, it doesn't carry more than one egg at a time before it carries, it first gives birth to the first one, before it carries then another egg to give birth to another child. But the regular goose carries many eggs in one period of gestation, and therefore that's a fundamental difference regarding their biology, and hence making them into different species. Another halacha, Amar Bimir, Amar Shlakish, he says, Hamar Biyash Ne Minim Shebayam. If someone mates two different types of animals from the sea, like he gets lashes for the Isra of being Marbiya client. My time, what's the reason? So Amar Bad Barhava, he says, Mishmei De'ula, Asim, because we learn, as it says in by Bereishis, Lemineyu, Lemineyu, Miyabosh, we learn Xeris Shav, it says Lemineyu to their species by the animals that are on ground. And that we already learned from the animals, the Behemah Chaya Oif, that they have a prohibition of climb. So too we learn, it says Lemineyu, by the aquatic animals, that they're also, it's going to be the Isser of different types of having climb. Now, a related question, Bayi Rachava, he asked, Hamanik be'iza v'shibuta. If someone ties a wagon to a land animal, a goat, and to an aquatic animal, a fish, and the fish is swimming on the water, and the goat is pulling with it on the edge of this of the water by, on the land. Maho, what's the halacha? Would there be the iser of climb of plowing together, tying together two different types of animal, which is a prohibition of climb? And the question is, mir mina, do we say kibin the iser lo nachas b'yam? Look, a goat doesn't go into the water. V'shibuta leisag liyabasha, and the fish, this type of shibuta fish, doesn't go into the land. So like klum avid, you haven't done anything. Idil mahashtim, yes, come on, go. Maybe no. Now, ultimately, you're actually leading a wagon by two different animals, and therefore that iser climb would apply. Now, maskev l'Ravina, Ravina asked on the question. Elamiata, if that's the case that you're entertaining that that could be klayim, then chibur chita b'sa'ir b'yadai. So he says, let's say someone puts together a wheat a seed and a barley seed. B'zara chita b'aretz. Now he plants the wheat in Eretz Yisrael. B'sa'ir b'chutz la'aretz. And the barley in chutz la'aretz. Right near each other. Hachinami de mechayv, would you entertain that you're going to be liable? No, of course not, because it's in two different places. And therefore here also, where you have one that's in the water and one's on the land, of course it's not going to be chayv. What's your question? So Amidei said, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two? Hasam over there by the iser of planting klayim, which is wheat and barley. Hasam Eretz Mokim Chiyuva. Eretz Yisrael is a place of liability. Chutz La'aretz Le'mokim Chiyuva. Out of Eretz Yisrael is not a place of liability, and that is the halach of klayim does not apply out of Eretz Yisrael, because it's a mitzvah kli ba'aretz. It depends on the land, and any mitzvah that applies to land, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Min ha'Torah. Maybe it's going to be rabbinic, but for sure min ha'Torah, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why, yes, of course, even though you're planting them together, but if one's right in Eretz Yisrael, one's a chutz la'aretz, yeah, there it's not going to be a problem. But here, both of them are in areas that there is a prohibition of klayim, and that is, if let's say you would pull a ship in the water with two types of fish of two different species, that of course would be chayv, because we expounded just before, lemineyu, from land animals, that the same thing applies to water animals, that the halacha is going to be the nisr of klayim. So therefore, they're both in the makam chiyuv. The only question is, one's in one type and one's in a different area. That is our question. Would we say that's going to be klayim or not? Therefore, that cannot be resolved from chit and sa'ir, from Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz, where there chutz la'aretz is not even a makam chiyuv at all. Hanulach shor shenogach es hapar. We shall return to the fifth parak in Masechet Baba Kama, parak shor shenogach es hapar. And with that, we turn to Amud Beis, where we begin the sixth parak in Masechet Baba Kama, parak hakoines, which begins the topic of the obligation and the extent of the liability of safeguarding one's property, one's animals, that it doesn't cause damage, and then continues in the parak regarding, as we had spoken up until this point, the mazik of shur and then the mazik of bur, and then we continue with the other ones, specifically the mazik of esh. Now, Taisa points out that actually this mishnah should have been taught, as we're talking about watching an animal from damaging, should have taught before when we're talking about the mazik of shur, and it shouldn't have interrupted, which it did in the previous parak of the mazik of bur. But Taisa says that once the Tana had said on Daf Mem Zayin Mabeis that it spoke about when there's a middle talking about the Mazik of Shur, that if it falls into a pit and it ruins the person's water, so though there was talking about the Mazik of Shur, but it mentioned the element of a pit as the victim, then it went into the topics of pit in regards to it being the assailant, meaning regarding being the Mazik. That's why it interrupted with Bar. Or Tracy says another pshat, is that actually, no, the topic of Bar should have been mentioned before. Before you talk about the topics, first talk about a mazik and then talk about the obligations of watching that. And so to actually the mazik of Eish, which we're going to mention later, should have also been mentioned before we talk about this Mishnah. But it's because we mentioned the previous parakat of Nun Bezim and Aleph regarding the halacha of covering a pit kara'u. So therefore I had to mention the halachas of opening a pit and digging a pit, which that's where the pasuk talks about the obligation of covering it. So once we started mentioning about covering a pit kara'u, so we talk about the halacha of shmira in general, which applies to the halacha of one's animals, of also watching it kara'u, of doing a shmira, an appropriate shmira. So with that we begin this parak. Hakayinis tzayin ladir. If someone brings in his sheep into a pen, to an enclosure that keeps them in enclosed, and he closes the gate appropriately, as we'll explain what that is, the yatzeh v'zika, and the animal still gets out and damages. So Pater is exempt because he watched it. What should he have done? He closed it as appropriately. Although the animal somehow got out, he's going to be exempt. Let's say loy nol b'fenel karo b'yatzeh v'zika. Let's say he did not close it appropriately and it went out and damaged. So then chayiv is liable because he didn't watch his animal, and hence he's chayiv. Let's say nifritza b'layla. Let's say it breaks out during the nighttime. Or bandits come and breach the gate and the yatzah bezika, and then that's how the animals get out and cause damage. So Potzi is exempt because he protected it. The fact that they get out at times when he couldn't have prevented it, so therefore it's not his liability. Let's say Haitziu list him. Let's say the bandits they don't only breach the wall, they actually take it out themselves, his animals, so list them chayavim. So then now they're liable because they are the cause. They're not just an indirect cause, let's say a grama, they actually took them out. So now they are the cause of the damage, and therefore they're going to be liable for whatever damage the animal causes. Mishnah continues, let's say anicha bechama. Let's say, although he put it into this deer, this enclosure, but he put them in the sun, which the sun is causing them a lot of pain, the animals. And therefore, even in an appropriate enclosure, and in the Ila Karo, the Gemara will explain the case is talking about, that's only fit that the door could withstand a common type of wind or of an animal trying to break against it. But when the animal is going crazy, then it cannot withstand. So therefore, since you put them in the sun, you should expect an animal going crazy against the door, which it cannot withstand. So therefore, in that case, or if he gave it over to the watching, to a deaf mute, or to mentally deranged, or to a minor, and the yatzah v'zika, in any of these two cases, if it goes in damages, chayv is going to be liable because it's not an appropriate shmira. Although he did a shmira, he gave it to someone else to watch, but they don't have intelligence. And although he put an enclosure, but you put them in the sun, what are you going to expect? That they're going to do whatever it takes to get out, and therefore there's going to be a liability over there. Let's say Masar L'Roi, let's say give his over to a shepherd, then Nechnes Aroi Tachtav, then the shepherd takes his place to be liable for any damages that it causes. Now let's say Nafla Lagina. Let's say in the situation of an Oynes, where let's say the roof of the owner of the animal is near his friend's garden, or let's say the Rishus Ram, the public domain where his animal has a right to walk, is higher than that guy's garden, and then his animal falls into the garden, so it's an Oynes, the animal just fell in. Venenis, and his animal gets pleasure because it eats up from that person's crop, mishalemis mashanenis, so the owner of the animal has to pay whatever benefit he got from his animal's eating, but not according to the amount that his animal had damaged, because that's a situation of oinus. But let's say yard the kedarka vizika, let's say animal didn't fall in, but rather it went down in a normal way, and it just went into someone else's field and damaged, then mishalemis mashazika, then that's the halacha of a beer b'steacher, then the owner has to pay how much the damage was, not according to just how much his animal had benefit from the food that it ate from him. So the Mishnah explains, Ketzai Mishalemes Masha Hazika, how do you qualify the amount to pay how much the damage actually was? So that the Tanakhama of the Mishnah explains, we don't estimate, we don't evaluate the roe itself that was consumed by his animal, which that would be a great loss for the damaging party, because you would evaluate in all its worth how much it would be sold in the market. Now, however, the Torah tells us, as the Gemara is going to darshan later on, Ubir Bistei Acher, that it went and it ate in another person's field, which that teaches us that you evaluate it based on the entirety of the field, not in this row specifically what was eaten. So rather, Shaman Beis Saw, Ba'isa Saw, the Kama Haisa Yafa, you qualify an entire area of a saw in that field, how much was it worth before his animal had eaten from it, just one row in that entire area of a saw. Now, Ba'kama Hi Yafa, now how much is that entire larger area worth right now? So therefore, he doesn't pay the entire value of that row, because someone that purchases a large tract of land, a beis saw, with its produce over there, he's not going to downgrade the amount that he's going to pay just because of one row that was eaten. Just a little bit. Okay, look, I see this one row is eaten. Okay, let's take off a little bit from how much I'm going to pay you. So therefore, but if he would be paying literally for how much the produce is worth on the market value, that's much more than just in regards to proportion to the entire field that he's buying. Shimon, he disagrees. He says, "Achla peiros gemurim." If the animal ate fully matured and ripe fruit, then mishalemes, then the owner of that animal pays the entirety of the damage. Peiros gemurim, complete produce. Imsa sa imsasayim, whatever the measurement is, that's how much he pays exactly for that row. How much the market value of that is. Now, and when does Reb Shimon hold that you do evaluate based on the entirety of the field? That's when it didn't fully ripen. Then you evaluate it based on the field, but if it's fully ripened fruit, then it's not like the Tanakhama, then you go based on the fruit itself. Now, the Gemara brings a Braisa Tanu Rabbanan that clarifies the halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you did a ne'ila, if you closed the gate, karo'u, then you're pater, not karo'u, then you're chayv. So the Braisa says, ezehu karo'u beizehu shaloi karo'u. What is considered closing the door appropriately, and what's considered not appropriately? So the Braisa explains, Deles sheyichayla lamed beruach mitsuya zeu karo. A door that can withstand a common type of wind, something that usually happens, that's considered appropriate. If it can't withstand even the regular wind, although you close the door, that's considered inappropriate. So though you put up a gate, what does that help? Any little wind is going to break it open. That's inappropriate, and that would make the owner of the ox liable. Now, that the Gemara asks, Amar Reb Mani bar Patish, Man Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah, as the Brisa explains, that muid, that even an animal that's a muid, the sagile b'shmira p'chusa, that it's enough to do even a lower level shmira. In other words, who's our Mishnah that says regarding a sheep, where the hezek that happens through a sheep is only with shein and regel, which is a muid from its inception. The only one that's not a muid right away is keren, which is by a shayr. Where do we find that there's a Tana that says that we're doing an appropriate closing of the gate, which we just explained the b'risa means to say a lower level shmira, because we said all you have to do is make sure it can withstand a common wind, and actually if an uncommon wind comes and blows it open, that you're not going to be liable for. Who is that says regarding a muid, which again applies to tzayin by shein and regel, which is always a muid, it's enough to do just a shmir kuro, which is a shmir pechusa, which is just that it should be able to withstand a common wind. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, it's like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like we learned the Mishnah previously in Daf Memheim and Beis that says, Kisharu ba'alov, if the owner of the ox ties it b'maisera with reins, v'nal l'fon of karo, and he closes the gate in front of the ox appropriately, and still b'yotzev, his zikah goes and the damages, says the first opinion, Echad tam be'echad mu'ud chayv. Whether it's a tam or a mu'ud, the owner is going to be liable, divrei meir, because he holds, by both tam and mu'ud, you need to do a shmir mu'ula, a higher level watching. So though you did what's called a shmir kuro, an appropriate one, which is a shmir pechus, a lower level one, it can withstand the ruach mitzuyah, but since it cannot withstand the ruach she'in mitzuyah, meir holds you going to be liable, both by tam and by mu'ud. But Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, and he's the Tana of our Mishnah, the tam chayev. By a tam, you're right, you will be chayev, because it's not enough to do a shmir pechus, and the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, although it seems the opposite of what one would think, because as he says, mu'ud is actually pater, and tam, which is usually less severe, is going to be liable. That the Gemara explained on the Daf Memheim Beis, where he learns that out from Pesukim. So by tam, he agrees they're going to be chayav, but by mu'ud, which is the case we're discussing in our Mishnah, he holds that with a shmir pechusa, you're going to be pater. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav, that his owner doesn't watch it. Then he's going to be liable. Now, b'shama huzeh, here he did watch it. It might be a lower level watching, but he watched it. And therefore, Behuda is the Tana of our Mishnah, says Remani bar Patish, because we find he holds that a shmir pechus is enough by a mu'ud, which is the case of our Mishnah. Now, the third opinion there in the Mishnah, Belazo Aimer, he says, Ein lo shmira ela sakin. The only way to watch a shmir mu'ud is with a knife, meaning he disagrees with both Remei and Behuda. Because whereas at least Remei holds that, although shmir pechus is not enough, but a shmir mu'ula is enough, Rabbi Elazar holds that, no, there's no watching that could help but a shmir mu'ud. The only way is to kill it, to shecht it, but any type of watching, even the shmir mu'ula, you will be liable by a shmir mu'ud. But one thing that we see is the Tana of our Mishnah is like a Behuda. And that the Gemara says, no. A fellow tamer Reb Meir, you could even say the Reb Meir is the Tana of our Mishnah. Why? Didn't he say that b'shmir mu'ud, that you're chayiv even with, you're going to be chayiv with a shmir pechusa? You're only going to be pater with a shmir mu'ula. And our Mishnah says a shmir kuro, which is a shmir pechusa, is enough for a shahar hamu'ud. Says the Gemara, shani shein v'regel. Shein and regel is different, although their mu'ud is different than shahar hamu'ud, which is keren after did it three times. Why? The Torah mi'ata b'shmirasin, because the Torah diminished the obligation of the safeguarding by shein and regel, although it's a mu'ud, in contrast to the mu'ud of shahar. So by shahar, as Rameir teaches, yes, there you need a shmir mu'ula. Shmir pechusa is not going to be enough. But he could be the Tana of a Mishnah, which is Tomat Shein and Regel, where their Shmir Bechusa is enough. Because the Amr Belaza, like Belaza says, Ramila, and some say actually, but must need the Tana, was told in the Braisa, Arba Dvarm, regarding four different things, Hatara Miyata Bishmirasan, the Torah diminished the obligation of how much you have to watch those Mazikin. Veiluhain, and these are the four. Bar, the Mazik of the pit, the Eish and fire, Shein of the a Mazik of an animal eating with its teeth, and the Regel, the animal causing damage, how it walks. Bar, the Chsiv, Bar, as it says in the Torah, it says, Ki yiftach ish bar, or ki yichr ish bar, b'lo yichesen. If a man will open up a pit, or dig a pit, and he won't cover it, then he'll be liable. Ha kiso, but the inference is, but if he does cover it, even just a little bit, he doesn't have to go ahead and stuff it, the whole pit that he dug, up with earth, that pot is going to be exempt. So that's a shmira, that's a diminishment of the requirement. Although his mazik that he made, he dug a whole pit, he doesn't have to fill it all up, he just has to cover it. Eish tichsev, where do we find by fire that there's a diminishment of the requirements? As says the passage in Shemais, says, Shalom Yishalom Hamaver Esa Behera, said that the one who made the fire has to go ahead and pay the amount of the damage. Now, the terminology used of hamaver sounds like ad ovid kein maver, until he actually, like as if he made the fire itself through an act of negligence of burning up that person's thing. So you see, unless it's like as if he literally went to burn that person's things, only then is it going to be chai. But if not, even just a lower level shmira, that already would be an exemption from the mazik of esh. Shein dechsev, where do we find by the mazik of an animal's tooth through eating? It says in the pasuk, ubir b'steyacher. If an animal goes and grazes another person's field, it sounds like ad ovid kein uvir, until he makes it as if he went and fed his animal with his hands that person's food. In other words, doesn't literally mean that, means to say with such negligence as if he did that. Ubir sounds like that the person went and grazed his animal in that person's field. But if you do a shmir pechus, so where you definitely didn't graze him there, you actually watched it just a lower level, that would be enough. So to regel dechsev v'shilach. Regel, it says in the pasuk v'shilach, that you send your animal. Sounds like ad de'ovet kein v'shilach, until like as if you sent your animal to go ahead and walk and cause damage while it's walking. But if you didn't send it, you actually watched it, even shmir pechus would be enough. Because v'tan, you learn the b'raisa that these two terminologies of avir and v'shilach are referenced to shein regel. As we learned in the Braisa, v'shilach zeh regel. How do we know it's a reference to the animal causing damage through its feet when it's walking? Because v'cheinu emes, so too, there's a pasuk that says, mishalchi regel asher b'chamar, that the sending of the feet of the ox and the donkey, you see that the term of v'shilach goes on regel. Uvir zeh ashein. How do you know that avir, grazing, is a reference to shein? Because v'cheinu emes, so too, says in a different pasuk, kashi yivar ha-gol atumai, until the gullel, which is a reference to shein, because the teeth are sometimes revealed and sometimes not, then, as it's mevar, as it consumes, until it's concluded, you see the term of beer references gullel, which is referring to the teeth. So therefore, time of da'ovit kein b'shilach of beer. So you see that the liability of them are because it's as if you actually literally sent your animal, as if you actually went and took it to graze. But if you didn't take it, you actually did a shmira, even though shmira pechusa, that would be enough. And therefore, you could say the town of a mishnah is like a mayor, although by shur hamud with keren, there the Torah is stringent and requires a shmira mu'ula. But by shein regel, we see that the Torah diminished the requirements, and therefore the town of a mishnah could be like a mayor, that by shein regel, it actually would be enough with a shmira kero, which is a shmira pechusa. Now, Amar Rabbi, he says, actually, masnit nami deka. Actually, our mishnah is more precise that way, by saying that the reason is because the Torah diminished the requirements specifically by Shein and Regel, but actually the town of Amishnah, who we want to say is like a mayor, would hold that by Karen Mu'ud, actually would not be like a Bihud, and actually it would require Shemir Ma'ula. Because the Tani Tzayin, the way our Mishnah opened up was Hakainas Tzayin Ladir. It talks about sheep, where we know that, and then it goes out and damages. The only way sheep cause damage, they don't gore, they don't have horns, that's not the type of animals that they are, they only damage with Shein and Regel, by walking on people's produce or by eating them. Now, Mechti, let's see. B'sher kaski nevo'asi, up until this parak, all along, whenever we were mentioning a mazik of an animal, we were talking about an ox, whether through goring, or whether through eating, whether through walking. So nis nishar. Let our Mishnah say, hakoines shar lodir. Maishna diktani tzayin, why does it change in talking about sheep? Lav mishum, isn't it because that Torah miyata b'shmirasin, that the halacha of our Mishnah is unique to sheep, where the Torah diminished their requirements of the watching? Lav mishum, isn't it because they can't keren like siva ba, because they were not talking about the mazik of keren, of goring with its horns, rather shein v'regel hu dechsev beis, because what applies to sheep is only with its teeth and with its feet. V'kamash malon, the shein v'regel demu'adnu, and that what type of mood are we talking about over here? That of shein v'regel shema minah, that from there we could infer that the halacha of a mishnah only applies to shein v'regel specifically and not the keren, because actually by keren, since it's going like a mayor, the halacha actually would be that it would not be enough for the shmir ru'uya, it would actually have to be a shmir mu'ula, and the halacha of a mishnah holds enough for the shmir pechusa is like a mayor, because the halacha is only talking about by tzayin, which applies to shein v'regel, and that is from one of the two of the four things that applies a meat, bishmira, and even Ramey would agree that it's enough with a shmir pechusa.